joining us here on the podcast. We now shift gears over to the Dartmouth Big Green. And joining us on the expert hotline is the head coach of the Dartmouth women, Belle Koklanis. How are you, coach?
Hi, Brett. Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me. The view in Hanover is beautiful white snow.
There you go. Did you have a good New Year?
Absolutely. It was wonderful. Wonderful holiday.
Any resolutions?
Ooh, you know what? This is a very reflective time of year. I typically reflect in between the Harvard games, you know, have about 2 weeks there. May I get back to you on that one?
We'll get a rain check on that, coach. And as we mentioned, we'll talk a little bit about Harvard here. But obviously, the big news from your team has been the successful non-conference play coming into this year with some big-time wins over Boston College and Colorado on the road in Boulder. I know recent stretch hasn't kind of gone the way you had hoped, but with the way the non-conference had started this year, had to be thrilled with the way your team came out of the gate.
Yes, indeed. We're very happy with the non-conference play, including all the hiccups. You know, as you mentioned, that Albany-Binghamton trip right after Christmas was a tough one for us. We did not play well. It was a different kind of energy with the team. But you know what? They're college kids. No excuses there, but there are highs and lows. There are ups and downs. There are days we're going to get worse before we get better, and that's all part of being an athlete, and it's certainly part of being on a team. So we want to try to eliminate those as much as possible, but you have to recognize that this is a process. It's a learning process. And so I'm really happy with our non-conference opponents, the lessons we were able to learn from them. We go into each game truly respecting our opponents and grateful for the competition that they present. And we learned a lot from them, from the wins and from the losses.
Hey, Coach, you started out the non-conference 4-0. You had wins over Vermont, Boston College, Rhode Island, NJIT. Before the season even started, you had some players leave the team, one being, you know, Amber Mixon's no longer on the roster, which is the rise of Cy Lippold. Can you talk about how the dynamics of that changed, and did you expect Cy to perform at the level that she's performing, and how you were able to quickly have success with all the changes to your roster?
Sure. Change is constant. Every day brings about change. And I think what you're seeing this year from our group and from our program is this is our fifth year here. We've had some time to really create, develop, mold the culture and identity that we want DWB to become as long as we're at the helm. And I start with that because we have our first senior class that we recruited. And so there are four of them. Amber would have been that fifth player. So we have a veteran group for the first time since we've been here that we've had under our tutelage for their entire time. And so you're starting to see some of that, you know, those lessons, that development, that growth, and our culture really coming into play there. You're also seeing a different kind of point guard play. Amber started every game for us. In her 3 years here at the point guard spot, you know, unless there was a health-related reason or otherwise. But she was our starting point guard, and I trusted her because I always knew what I was going to get from Amber. She was very consistent in the defensive effort and side of the coin. And I say this too, some would say, well, she was really inconsistent offensively. Well, sure, because we wanted her to score more, but I consistently knew that she wasn't going to look to score very often. So that's what I mean when I say consistent. I at least knew that Amber was going to do her best to take care of the basketball, manage the team. She understood the action. She understood what we were looking for, and she brought defensive intensity to the floor. She played behind Amber for 2 years, and she didn't play very much, but Amber definitely helped Cy develop because Cy went up against Amber, who I think was one of the best defenders in the Ivy League. She went up against her every single day in practice. And so now you're seeing Cy emerge, and it's great timing because her opportunity is here. And she has grabbed onto it, and she's doing her best to hold onto it. You know, because we have Annie McKenna also emerging as another point guard for our program. So it's really the two of them. But Sai is different from Amber in that she's a major offensive threat, as Amber was our defensive threat. So we're really excited about Sai, but Sai also has a lot to continue to learn, and from a decision-making standpoint and leading a team standpoint. So really excited about how she's been playing, and also to continue to coach her to be an even better point guard. You know, I feel really strongly about the point guard position, having played that position my whole life.
I was just about to say, Coach, as looking at this matchup with Harvard and your team, and you're a former point guard playing at Richmond, this, and I was saying to Jill beforehand, I mean, this is going to be a fantastic game for fans of point guards coming into this one. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, I absolutely love Katie Benson. I love her. We recruited Katie, really excellent relationship with her and her family all throughout the recruiting process. And even now, it's fun to compete against her. We always get to see the family, you know, pregame and postgame. And so it's she's excellent. Sai is emerging. Excellent. It's going to be a fun matchup. Really fun matchup.
My other question, you mentioned Sai Lippo, but you also, Kate Letkowitz has done very well this season. Emily Slagle has gone from kind of a role player to taking on more scoring, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The other interesting part of it, Coach, is Letkowitz, Lippold, and Slagle, top 10 in minutes played. And you have three of the top 10 players in minutes played this season. Is that something that you've had to kind of watch over the past couple of games? Are you comfortable throwing out those three playing 40 minutes? And that might be a little bit difficult as we get into back-to-back play, but are you confident with those minutes that they're getting early on here?
I am. You know, they're youngsters.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
They are youngsters, and I bet you if you ask them this question, I don't think they would say they wouldn't complain about it. That's for sure.
Right.
No, we are mindful, obviously, of legs, and particularly going into Ivy League play here. We intentionally scheduled the Albany Binghamton trip on the road, back to back, to prepare us and give us a taste of what's to come. You know, with Ivy League travel and preparation for my staff and I and for the team. So we're certainly aware of it, but we're also, you know, we do a good job of leading them through practice and days off and time off. And we have a great sports medicine staff, Scott Roy. Let me give him a shout out. We work hand in hand with just making sure that we're prioritizing, obviously, their health and keeping them sharp and healthy and ready to roll. But when it's game time, it's game time. And when called upon, they're not going to bat an eye. They're not looking at minutes. They're looking at, look, Coach, if you're calling on me and you trust me and you need me out here, no matter it's the first 5 minutes, last 5 minutes, 40 minutes, 35 minutes, I'm going to give you my all. And that's what we're working on from a fitness standpoint. And part of that, too, is working on getting our younger players better. You know, so that we call our bench our emerging players. We like to keep everything in the positive. And as their skill sets continue to emerge going into January here now, we've had some time with them, you'll start to see some other faces.
The Ivy League plays back-to-back games, and that is foreign to every other conference and coach in the country.
Yeah.
And I know as a player, if I play 40 minutes, like it would have been really hard for me to play, you know, less than 24 hours, another full game. So is there a way that you prepare or recover? Because on the road, you're getting on a bus, you know, are you waking up to go to your shoot arounds or are you stretching? You know, can you tell our listeners what that kind of looks like preparing and playing those back-to-back games?
Sure. First of all, it's a mindset. And so the way we communicate what we do here is really important, starting in the recruiting process, and then definitely each year with each team. It's look, this is what we do here. And it's funny, I was just talking to Leah Troncalli, is a good friend of mine. She's the associate head coach at Binghamton, and she said that right before the game, the Binghamton players were like, oh, you know, they're going to be tired. Darwin just played yesterday, and Leah said, you know, easy now, don't take them for granted. This is what they do. And I love that because that's exactly how we communicate with our players. Look, this is what we do. This is what we do here. And what's so cool about the Ivy League is the Ivy League tradition. in that, yeah, this is what we do. We prepare to play two opponents. We have Ivy League weekends back-to-back. Everyone's in the same boat, and we're going to battle it out. We're going to battle it out on Friday night, and then we're going to turn around and do it again on Saturday night, and this is what we do here. That's culture. That's what the Ivy League, that's why the Ivy League is so unique and so different. And for us, it's a positive because, well, we turn it into a positive. Also, staying realistic with trying to be mindful about keeping our kids fresh, right? So on that Saturday game, we typically don't use our shoot-around. We'll do more visualization with the team. With that scouting report, we'll stay in the hotel if we're on the road, or even if we're home, we'll stay in the film room, keep them off their legs. We'll do a ton of recovery, again, with our strength and conditioning coach and our sports medicine. And so we have, you know, we have different practices in place to make sure that we're preparing as best we can. And then sometimes the best preparation is mental preparation.
Coach, looking at the matchup coming up here on Saturday, Harvard and Dartmouth. We talked with Kathy Delaney-Smith earlier, and having seen this matchup here in the last five seasons, every game is always a grinded out battle, and I expect nothing less here in this matchup between these two teams. What can you tell us as far as your preparation has been in focusing on the Crimson this Saturday at Leed Arena?
Sure. Well, we jumped into it today. Coach Addie Messiers, one of my assistants, this is her scout, and she's an Ivy Leaguer herself, played at Princeton, and so we were really excited first thing this morning to put our heads together and take a look at how Harvard's been playing and what they're doing. And we're just pumped for Ivy League play. So, you know, as always, Katie Benson is someone we have to match up against, and we need to take her 3-point scoring away from her if that's possible. She's so shifty and just smart and explosive. So we have to run her off that 3-point line, turn her into a passer, get her to think about twos instead of threes. It's still, twos are still less than three, right? That's a really important key, you know. And then their post play is also, you know, actually big picture today. You put their guards and their post together, and they run actions that they've been running the last 2 years. So we're not seeing anything entirely different from Harvard from an offensive standpoint. They're actually better at what they've been doing because they've been doing it for 2 years now. And so we just repped in practice today, you know, defending their basic offense and preparing to take away what they love to do.
How do your players feel about the Harvard rivalry? People, and Kathy Delaney-Smith talked about the Dartmouth-Harvard rivalry, and it goes years back. Obviously, your players don't know the history of it, but do you, you know, have to, I'm assuming you don't have to really, like, pump them up for this game. It's just an 8, and they, like, wake up, and they have this date marked on their calendar from day one.
It's true. You know, it's so funny. This is year 5, like I mentioned earlier. For me, wearing the green, and I, you know, before arriving here at Dartmouth, I didn't know much about Dartmouth. I knew about the Ivy League. I was an assistant coach in the Ivy League, but I didn't really know much about Dartmouth. And it's like, as soon as you arrive here and you become part of the green, it happens. You just embrace the fact that Harvard, you know, is your rival. And it's like, you feel it. You feel it in the blood. You feel it's amazing how that works. It's pretty cool. So Kathy could obviously speak better to this because she's been in the league a really long time. But for myself, only being in the league for 5 years, we feel it and our players feel it. It's a game that, yeah, it needs no motivation. And we want our kids to play, you know, with that kind of motivation where you don't need any motivation. You just love to play and get after it for every opponent. But there is something about this Harvard opponent that Hanover and the Big Green and Dartmouth, all of Dartmouth, all across the world, they pay attention to and they care about.
Final question, Coach, and you mentioned the coaching and going up against Kathy Delaney-Smith, who Jill appropriately titled the Dean of Ivy League Women's Coaches, being at the helm for 36 seasons. But it's quite interesting, the dynamic of the coaching circle in the Ivy League. I mean, at one point you were the youngest head coach in the Ivy League, and obviously there's been some new additions to some other programs, but it's just really interesting, the different dynamics, the different personalities. You look at Mike McLaughlin in Penn, one of the quietest guys you'll meet, but boy, does his teams play very hard. And it's just very interesting, the coaching circle we see here in the Ancient Eight. And it's been interesting, the change that we've seen here in the last 5 years on the women's side.
It's incredible. We have excellent coaches and excellent coaching staffs in our league, in our conference. And it's exciting because you're going to be challenged as players and you're going to be challenged as coaches every single night in your preparation. So you see, eight teams with different styles of play and different wrinkles as we can continue to build identities and continue. All of us are trying to find ways to win. So it's going to be an exciting season. It always is. But particularly, moving into 2018 with where the Ivy League women's basketball is, it's awesome. We're definitely doing our part for the game, and I'm proud to be part of this conference.
For people who haven't seen your team play yet, Coach, can you describe the style of play that you're playing this year? I mean, Brett and I noticed it just in the first two games that it's different this year, sharing the ball a lot more. But can you tell someone sure. that if they show up to Lead Arena on Saturday what they would see?
Yes, I'd love to help more people show up to Lead Arena as we go along. And let me tell you this much, it's exciting. We play what we call speed game, and in order for us to do it, we have to defend well. We're trying to get up pressure defense and turn people over a little bit more so we can have more possessions. We want to always have more possessions than our opponent. We want to score in the 70s. That's a goal, is to score 70-plus points a game. So our speed game is being great in eight whenever possible. We want to score in the first 8 seconds of that 30-second shot clock. And so it's faster. It's faster. And then if we don't have anything early, that's a high percentage shot, what we deem high percentage shots, within our roles and personnel, then we reverse the ball and we play fluidity. And that's our open five out offense. And it's fun. It's fun to watch. Everyone, is touching the basketball. There's a lot of extra passing going on. It's fun to be a part of, from a player standpoint. And then it's fun to watch from a audience standpoint and a fan base standpoint. And it's fun to coach. So we teach concepts within this open offense, but we really give them the freedom to navigate and make reads and play, which is, in my opinion, the way the game is meant to be played.
We also
have sets and certain actions we go to for different reasons. Obviously, you always have to have that as well.
So. I was just going to say, Coach, when you were about to say that even you would like to play, and sometimes I notice when you wear the sneakers on the sidelines, you try and check in, and I don't know how that's going to work moving forward.
Now that they move the lineup, yeah, right? You can get closer to that check-in.
I'm starting to get a little bit of gray hair here. It looks like snow's falling in my hand, and my hair is just hanging on to it. So that's not helping me out either.
We'll just say it was the snow. It's that global warming, keeping it non-melted.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Coach, it's going to be a great game Saturday, and we're both looking forward to being there. Harvard-Dartmouth doesn't get any bigger than that in women's basketball to open up Ancient Eight play. Should be fun. Best of luck, Coach.
Appreciate it, Brett. Thank you, Jill.
Wait, I got rapid fire before we go.
Oh, we got rapid fire. Oh, boy.
Okay. Sounds like the way we want to play.
Yeah, yes. There you go. So, well, we put Kathy Delaney Smith through the ringer, so we got to put you through it, Coach.
We do.
Okay, what's all this about?
Okay, rapid fire. I'm just going to, ask you a question or say a statement, and you're just going to answer it as honestly as you can.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Coach, describe yourself in one word.
Caring.
How would your team describe yourself in one word?
Funny. No, I don't know about that. I think caring.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, goodness. I have a hard time when people walk into a room and do not say hello, and then when they leave a room, do not say goodbye. So just acknowledging each other, one another, greet each other, say hello and say ciao.
Okay. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Last song you listened to? Is it a Christmas carol?
You know what? We had music playing the entire time in practice today, but I zone it out, I guess, at this point. Probably Keep It Loose, Keep It Tight by Amos Lee. If I had a choice anyway, that's what would be on. Or Hamilton.
Not answering the question. Okay, and favorite Netflix show?
Madam Secretary, absolutely.
Okay, great. Coach, well, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate you both.
All right, that sound means our time is over. Even though there's really no time in podcast land, but it's coming to an end here. I don't really know how we rate this show or anything, but folks, hopefully you enjoyed enjoying the Ivy League weekend. Jill, I know you'll be enjoying the Ivy League weekend yourself.
Absolutely. I'll be seeing you in Leed Arena at 5 o'clock.
Dartmouth, Harvard women's basketball will be on the call for Ivy League Network on that one, and we'll hope to talk to you again next week for Inside Ivy Hoops. I'm Brett Franklin, Jill Glessner. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the hoops.